Aloha everybody, welcome to a rather snowy and wintry war room up here in sunny Scotland. I know some of you guys out in North America are just laughing at us having ground to a halt over there here, but things have ground to a halt around here. That's why we're getting this episode out a day late. My apologies for that. There was a fair amount of digging out of cars. I had to abandon my car, believe it or not. I can't believe it myself, to be honest. It's only a little bit of snow. But anyway, had to abandon the car. It was stuck solid, so it got abandoned for a couple of days. I got the car back, but our road in and out of the bit where we live is now blocked because somebody else's car is stuck there. So, what's been hitting us this week beside the weather? Well, this week we've seen some news about podcasts, etc., going up, and Brad Moran and Patch Adams brought out an episode of The Cast Ice, that's Brad's programme, which was talking about bolt action in particular, and talking about all sorts of general things, listing and armies, etc. We'll talk about that again in a minute, possibly. But he announced, as if we all didn't know who listened to podcasts. I love listening to podcasts, either when I'm painting or in the car going somewhere, usually in the car off to competitions, that he is now the host of the official Warlord podcast. So, well done, Brad. We'll look into lots of new things. So it won't just be bolt action, of course. It will be bolt action and all things Warlord. So that looks good. The first episode just out, I think it's going to be a monthly show, has input from Warlord HQ itself. And they were talking about Market Garden with relation to bolt action and one or two other things. Talking about the North Africa book, which is coming out later on this year. We knew there was going to be some more goodies for the Italians. But there were hints there, although he didn't say it, there were hints that we might be getting plastic Africa Corps and plastic Desert Rats coming out, which should be quite good. At the moment, most of us rely, I'm guessing, on the Perry Miniatures models, which are also sold by Warlord. But new plastic boxes of them would be good if they came, but we shall see. He was also, as I say, mentioning there's going to be a bit of love for the Italians, possibly, in there too. I'm guessing that'll be more vehicles, maybe some plastic Italians, who knows. We shall watch the airwaves and see what that brings or doesn't. But also on the Cast Ice episode, they mentioned that the Ghost Army podcast was coming back, which was one of my favourite podcasts, and lo and behold, about a day afterwards, the Ghost Army podcast did drop. So welcome back, guys. It looks as though that is back permanently. And when you put that together with the possible comeback of the Home Guard radio, I heard Craig Brown from the Home Guard saying they had taped it. It was just a case of getting it up. It looks as though the podcast airwaves are hot to trot yet again. So that should be interesting. Put in a few more hours. Now, I said that Patch and Brad were talking about armies, etc., on the Cast Ice podcast. The word podcast is coming up far too much tonight. My apologies, guys. And there's been a lot said about lists and overpowered lists and shouldn't be able to take this and historical lists and various things. I think we're all getting a bit much of it now. There's a couple of things I would like to say, and I probably will not bring this up again for a few months, but we'll see what happens with other people's comments. One of the things Patch sort of mentioned was that listing isn't the only thing. People seem to be really interested to know what lists are out there, and it's absolutely true. Every time I do a show, the first questions I usually get asked is, what list won a particular competition I'm at? And to be honest, guys, it doesn't matter what list wins the competition. It's down to more than just listing. And copying somebody else's list will not necessarily make you win any games. Really, there's a whole sort of formula of things. Only a few of the things included are, it depends what scenarios you're playing, depends what dice you roll, depends the format of the competition, if it's competitive we're talking about. Depends on your list, yes, that's part of it, but mainly depends on the person who's playing it. So what I tend to find, as I say, I've gone around many competitions, you don't get one list that always wins. You tend to find it's the same people who come in the top three places, which would seem to suggest that even when they're playing different lists, they are tactically good enough to do well in competitions. So get better, play more, don't necessarily just copy somebody else's list would be my advice. Now, the other thing they were talking about was how certain things, they're a bit wary, I think is the right word, they're a bit wary of certain things becoming very powerful. And I think in the past, certain communities in the game have put restrictions on certain things. So, for example, a few years ago, it was flame tanks were the big, you know, you're going to be that cheesy guy who plays loads of flame tanks and all the rest, or loads of flamethrowers, etc. And people maybe did do house rules, and I think there was a group maybe did do an alternative set of a few sort of house rules that you could use in your games and competitions and things. And they did put limitations on flamers, for example. And I'm not criticising it in particular. I know exactly what they were trying to do with those rules they brought up, and I agree with the principles. Not too sure I agree with changing rules. I think, just to go off on a wee tangent for a second, I've got a bit of a butterfly guy brain, guys. You know that already if you listen to this podcast. I think that usually you're better not to change the rules and to go with some, try and turn bolt action perhaps into more of a community-led, where we have rules which, let's say if we have facts which are up and can be influenced by the community somehow, so that we get regular FAQ updates. But it's not just a case of knee-jerking to everything, that's not what I mean. But hopefully you kind of get the intention of what I'm saying. I think we could do with some more facts, more frequent facts, maybe facts that have been play-tested before they become facts, to see what effect they may or may not have on the game. But the other thing I was saying, changing rules, and it's with the flamethrowers. Yes, flamethrowers were a thing for a little while, and up here in the UK, particularly in Scotland, we normally play, if it's legal, you can play it. We don't tend to put restrictions. I'm pretty sure we didn't put restrictions on flamethrowers, if I remember rightly. And yes, okay, so flamethrower armies did a little bit better for a little while, but by the time the next season came around, everybody had figured out how to play the flamethrower tanks, etc. And it wasn't a thing anymore. And then, at the moment, what's on the rise? Well, last season here in the UK, it was Stuart tanks and Japanese stick warriors, and possibly those two combined were the thing that was kind of in fashion. They did a little bit better at competition, but not hugely. They didn't win everything at competition, and I think you'll find by this season that most people have figured out how to play against those lists. And I think bolt action is one of those wonderful things where everything seems to be reasonably even and balanced. We see certain things come into fashion, we do a knee-jerk reaction with it when it beats us. So, for instance, that stick warrior army or whatever. And then by the time we've played them half a dozen things, it's like, yeah, that wasn't so bad after all. Yeah, bring your stick warriors, I'm more than happy to play them. Bring your flame tanks, bring whatever it is. And I think bolt action is, by design, which I doubt, or just by pure happy chance and luck, is one of those games which, you know, with time kind of self-regulates just because of the type of game it is and the way it's set up. The other thing is it's just run by such a bunch of decent guys. Even guys that are really competitive will sit down and help you very much. I can't say it often enough, just one of the best games out there. And I think Brad, in fact, I think it was Patch who really made a point of that in that podcast they did, that it's the community. And I think, rightly, he wouldn't like to see that disappear, and neither would I. So I think he's a bit more concerned that it might or it might not. But to be honest, I think Bolt Action community will self-regulate itself. It'll always be a community. We're always going to have some guys that don't get on with other guys. We're always going to have some guys which see the downside of things rather than the upside of things. Doesn't matter what game you're playing. But as a generalisation, the bolt action guys are the best. If you want to know something, go out there and ask them. Right, after me wittering on about that, that's probably the last I'm going to say about it. What's coming up next? I have got myself, as some of my regulars will know, really booked up for March. I have way overbooked myself. I don't think I'm going to do this again. But in March, I have 7 competitions. It will involve me travelling the best part of about 5,000 to 6,000 miles, maybe 5,000 miles, between travelling from Scotland down to England on a lot of occasions and then going across to Adepticon to see a bunch of new pals I've made in America. A lot of them on the Chicago Bolt Action site are really fantastic bunch of guys. Can't wait to meet them all over there and have them take the mickey out of me, have a lot of fun, and tell me what a cheesy old Scottish git I am. Looking forward to meeting Sean, who I'm playing in the doubles with across there. But the first one up is Cambridge Too Far. Still the largest tournament in the UK. I think there's going to be 80 people there if they all turn up. Looking to see a lot of new friends. I've told you the army I'm playing there, so next week we'll bring you the results of that. And then the week after that, we've got club competition up here in Dunfermline. I will probably play my 1,000 point Adepticon army, which I have now decided on, and actually I need to get that sent in this week. So I've got 1,000 point army. I'm playing Japanese again. I'm going to play a Burma list. I decided I wouldn't take 2 platoons, although I really, really wanted to. But anyway, I think it's probably bad enough as 1 platoon. Can't remember it exactly, but it runs off. What's the features of it? Well, I've got 2 snipers, or is it 3 snipers? I might have 3 snipers in it, actually. Or do I? No, 2 snipers. I've got a Stuart, so I'm running 1 Stuart. I'm running a medium howitzer. I'll be running a medium mortar, I'm guessing. And I'm running 3 or 4 squads of the native irregulars. So we'll see how that goes. Probably not going to do very well on things like envelopment or the one where we divide the table into quarters, but we shall see. So looking forward to that, what else? Oh, I made a 450 point army. I think I'm taking Soviets to the, they've got a combat patrol on the opening sort of day of bolt action, which is the Thursday. Is it the Thursday? Yeah, it's the Thursday. And I'll be playing, as I say, the 450 point Soviet list. So that'll be good fun. Combat patrol, it's going to be all in what scenarios you pick, and it's really about having a good crack with the other guy. So we're really looking forward to that. And then the Friday is the doubles tournament. I'll be playing with Sean Vilmont from Wahoo Warrior. You guys might or might not know him over in America. We're going to play what appears to be a rather cheesy Japanese list. It's certainly going to make heads turn. Oh, I'm going to be that guy again. I think we might be playing either 4 or 6 snipers. We're playing 4 medium howitzers. This is in a 1400 point list. And native irregulars. Oh, I hope we don't come across as being too strong. But as long as we have fun, we'll see how that works out. So that should be fun. What else have we got on? Then when I come back from America, we are going down to Lincoln to Imps. And again, I'm probably just going to play Japanese because I'll have them in the bag and I'll be knackered and won't want to think. And then the day after that, I'm going to Boston Bunker. Fantastic little shop who you might hear a bit more of on the next program, but they've got a fantastic little shop. They've got the biggest selection, is it Lincolnshire there? Biggest selection of bolt action in Lincolnshire. So we're going to go down there, sample the delights. I'll be travelling with some guys from Scotland to have a bit of fun. So that will be a big bolt action weekend, and that will bring me to 7 competitions in the 1 month. As I say, I don't think I'm going to do that again. That's a bit too much, even for me. April's looking a bit quieter. So that's it on the competition front. Painting front. Oh, I've got a paint job on just now that I am finishing off, and just wish I had a few more hours, because I've got another 2 paint jobs on the back burner for people. I think once I finish those, I'll maybe stop doing commissions for a little bit. I've got some things of my own I want to get done. Harrison, my co-presenter on the War Room, he's got a German army, which you'll probably hear about in the next podcast. That needs painted up, so we'll probably be doing that. Oh, what else is appealing to me in the bolt action world? Well, I'll tell you something that came up today, and I hadn't thought about it. We were playing in the game, and suicide bombers, I suppose, of whatever ilk. So Harrison had a lot of transports in today's game, and he was running 3 trucks, so I thought, I'll be a real smarty and put my suicide bombers out on the road. So when they come down the road, my suicide bombers will just attack the trucks, who are loaded up with troops, and that'll see the troops all get out and go down and all the rest of it. And it only just twigged on me and Harrison when we were playing, because I haven't really played suicide bombers against transports before. I normally put them against tanks, or I hide them away and I just look for the extra dice to give me a bit of a dice advantage. And it suddenly figured on me, just as I was about to do it, that if I charge my suicide bomber out to his truck, all that's going to happen is the guys that are in the truck are going to jump out. My suicide bomber has to attack them. He will probably kill one guy, because that's the way suicide bombers work. And then he's just going to get wiped out and lose his dice. So a bit of a glaring error and mistake from somebody who ought to know better. So that was rather interesting. And also came up today, shooting artillery at buildings. And I saw it up on a post where it said, if you're shooting at the building, I can't remember the exact wording, but if you read it, I think there's a separate little paragraph for it. It's shooting HE at buildings. If you shoot direct, you ignore all cover modifiers, which implies that even if you're shooting through a big bush, for example, as long as you can see the house, you can shoot. And you don't take any negatives for shooting through that bush if you're firing at a big house, which on the one hand seems to make sense, because it's a big house, you can see it. The bush that's in the middle is not going to stop a big shell, so it doesn't really make any difference. It doesn't make it a harder target. But on the other hand, it kind of seems wrong, because if you're shooting at that house with some other weapon, The other thing that came up was you don't need line of sight to the target in the house, which on the one hand seems really odd. And I mean, I know it's a game and it's not a simulation, but you could argue that how does the gun know there's anything in the house to shoot at? If you're shooting at a house with no windows or doors or any other openings in that end, how could you know there was a target in there? I'm not quite sure how maybe they sort of think that you've seen them going in, or a spotter is called in that there's a target in that house, I guess. It just seemed when we were looking up and doing it was wrong. Harris and I were both saying, yeah, how do I see that target in there? And then I'm like, well, I'm sure it says in the rules. So we looked it up, and it does say in the rules, you just have to see the house, you're shooting at the house, you don't have to see the target. But it says you nominate the target in the house at the start of rules. Anyway, very complicated, seemed very weird, and it's a good job it's not a game, not a simulation. But as it happens, he ran out of the house before I shot at the house anyway. So it was just a couple of odd things that came up in play today. So I'm going to stop it there. I'm going to try and see if I can capture Harrison tomorrow, if I get a wee bit of time, and do another podcast. We'll talk about the game we had today. Hopefully you guys will enjoy this, my sort of meaningless ramblings. And we'll put up another show on Monday. Hopefully we'll have an extra show out tomorrow. Take care, guys. Mahalo from the War Room.